Good evening, everybody. How you doing? Doing okay? All right. Good to see everybody. And a rather unusually warm day today, I would say. I'm hoping so. I like the cooler weather for sure. Good to see everybody tonight. Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And it's just good to see you. Good to be here. Hope everybody's been having a good week this week. And we're going to jump right into things tonight. We met Brother Randy Ely and went and prayed with Miss Diane on Tuesday, yesterday, and her numbers were low. Potassium was low, sugar was low, so they had to postpone the surgery. And they kept her overnight, and Brother Randy texted me this afternoon and said her surgery is scheduled for in the morning at 7:30. So remember that. But we were there, and like I said, we talked with Miss Diane, and we prayed with her. But up until yesterday, she said she hadn't eaten in 2 days. And I knew 24 hours before surgery, but 2 days. So, and then she had to maintain that with very little food, I'm sure, all day today until surgery day tomorrow. So really lift her up in prayer, if you would. She, going to this surgery. And again, it's a twofold surgery. It's going to take a couple different days to do it. So remember her. Remember Brother Randy, which is going to be taking care of her, and the recovery process. I think Rand came in last night, and of course, Janet was there yesterday. And so we'll just remember the family during this time, if you would. And let's continue to remember the hurricane victims as they rebuild their lives. Remember our children's home, staff and children. Like Brother Alan Clayton had mentioned last week was his first week back to work, and so he's doing better, and praise the Lord on that. But continue to remember him. It's going to take a while for that back to get 100%. But let's remember Brother Jim Jr. as he looks to have his foot surgery soon. Sooner than later, hopefully. He's waiting on his heel to heal before they can have that surgery. So remember that. Remember the Palmers, Brother Leonard, and Miss Dolores with his treatments and her heart condition as they try to continue to stay on the path of better health. And my grandparents, if you would, continue to remember them. It was good to have them and my aunt this past Sunday morning. And so praise the Lord for that. Brother James Townsend, continue to remember him. He went to the doctor on Monday, and we haven't received any updates on that, but we'll be reaching out to them. James and Shirley Townsend, remember them both. Don and Carla Rich over in Peru. Carla Rich's brother, assisted living home, that is Don. Connie Norton, Miss Claudia, continue to remember her. Brother Harold. Jimmy and Jenny Clanton, Emily McCricker, Joyce Manning, James Tolan Brown, Kevin Brook, and Jamie Carden. Just remember all of these requests. Maybe someone has a request or an update. Everything's okay. That's good. Brother Son. Okay. All right, we'll be remembering this. Anybody else tonight?
Our two great nephews, Jordan, who has a throat cancer, he's taking the treatment. This is the second time around. He's doing pretty well, but he has two little boys, so y'all please pray for him. And Jay, his younger brother, who had brain cancer when he was 18 months old, he's 18 now. He's doing well, but they're doing some tests with his medicine. And so y'all please remember him.
Yeah, we sure will. Anyone else?
My son-in-law John.
Yes. Yeah.
And they're just—it's all again to cool down because it's still going back from the accident.
Mm.
And the low sodium thing.
Yes.
Ruling out seizures or anything else.
Or whatnot. Continue to remember. Let's remember John in our prayers. Anybody else? Well, Looked like everybody had a good time Sunday night, our trunk or treat with our petting zoo and everything. And so got some good feedback, had many visitors come through, and some said they want to come back or come visit with us here at the church. So that's great. But thanks again for everybody who had a hand in that, who helped set up, tear down, you know, clean up all the above. Thank you for doing that. What a blessing that was. All right, we're moving into the month of November. And so remember, we're going to have our annual Thanksgiving dinner on Sunday night at 5 o'clock on the 24th. So remember that. That's in the bulletin. Just pick one up, and there will be the date there. We'll have a sign-up sheet coming soon for you to list the items that you may be bringing. So remember that, and then it's going to be getting into the Christmas season and the tree lot at the home and all of that. Just a lot of great things going on. Remember the OCC, Christmas Operation Christmas Child, if you would like to participate in that and fill up a box. You can see Miss Vicky for that, or Frank even would be good, or anybody that's helping out with that project. And so just remember that as well. All right, we have a special, go ahead.
Don't forget the time change.
Yes, time change, don't forget that. We have a very special birthday to announce today, and that is happy birthday, Pastor Emeritus Snyder-Turner.
Oh, all right.
And so, there we go. What's that? Got a card in hand. Hey, that's awesome. So not sure if he's watching or not, but we just want to mention that publicly. I sent him a text of Donald Trump this morning going like that, happy birthday, happy birthday. So he got a good kick out of that. But appreciate him and his years of faithfulness down through the years here at Calvary and playing a role in many people's lives. And so very special happy birthday to him. Appreciate that. For the sound and audio team, the sound and video team, thanks a lot. All right, anybody else with anything else to mention before we pray? All right, well, let's just remember our young people downstairs, our teachers, and everybody taking place in our youth ministry tonight. And let's, of course, remember America and this election, this countdown. And don't know if everybody knew this or not, but Donald Trump was in town this week. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Not only at Georgia Tech.
Later, right up.
But he was here in Powder Springs, too, at Worship of Wonders. Used to be Tabernacle over there off Macklin Road. And I tried to go at the last minute. I picked up Lily from school. I said, you want to go see Donald Trump? And she loves Donald Trump. She said, yeah. And so they changed locations and everything. We got mixed up. And plus, you had to sign up ahead of time. You had to register. And so there was no way. There was no way we were getting in there. But anyway, just remember this upcoming election. And if you haven't voted, vote. And we'll just pray for God to move and work in a mighty way during this time. All right. Okay, let's pray. And after that, Brother Jeff has a song. All that would, meet us in the altar. Or you can pray right.
So I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. Feel like traveling on. Either pain or death can enter there. Feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. Heavenly home is bright and fair. Feel like traveling on. The glittering cars of sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. The heavenly mansion shall be mine. Feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. The heavenly home is bright and fair. Feel like traveling home. The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. I feel that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling home.
Well, I hope you feel like traveling on. And just don't travel on until we're done, please. And Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. That's one of the purposes of Wednesday night prayer meeting, Bible study, is to plug in and get something from God's Word so that we can travel on. Appreciate that song, Brother Jeff. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer, and then I want to read verse number 1 down through verse number 8. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you for who you are and for what you do. God, help us take our time tonight and just allow the Scriptures to speak. Father, use us as a vessel this morning for your honor, tonight rather, for your honor and your glory. And I pray that we would be encouraged, challenged, and changed by the time that we leave this evening. Thank you for the people of God congregating together tonight. Just give them a blessing, Lord, by being here. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. And amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, verse number 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. Time of war and a time of peace. I want to stop reading there, verse number 8. We could continue the whole chapter of this, all interesting things here. It's the Word of God. Tonight, I want to call your attention to verse number 1, where the Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Just briefly, in my introduction tonight, three things in this one verse I want to mention before I give you my title. That is, there's different seasons. There's different seasons. He says, to everything there is a season. And so there's different seasons in life, both physically and spiritually. But then there's a purpose for every season, he says, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So there's different seasons in life, and there is a purpose for every season in life. This verse deals primarily with change. With change. We are transitioning, as you well know, from summertime to fall time. Then we will be transitioning from fall to winter, then from winter time to spring, and then spring to summer, and repeat. The seasons continue to repeat. And so there's four seasons of nature, and God did that. You know that. There's reasons for each season. One reason is to keep everything operating properly. Another reason for the change of the seasons physically into nature is that God set this in rotation to purify itself. This is the will of nature. And there's many spokes in a wheel. Each spoke has its purpose. And so many things turn in the will of nature, but it's all for a purpose. And it's all temporary. Things are constantly changing in nature. So there's the change in nature, but then there's the change in the natural. Excuse me for just a moment. There's the change in the natural. And what I want to do tonight, I want to talk about that subject of change. Change. But I kind of want to go through verse number 2 through 8. We're not going to take a long time. But I do want to mention some of these things because the points I want to make tonight have these verses as a foundation so we can better understand the points I want to bring out. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, he says, the writer says, Solomon, a time to be born and a time to die. Now, these times we have no control over. We don't have a control over our birth. We don't have control over our death. In the middle, there's the dash that you see on a tombstone. We have somewhat control over that. But I got to thinking about a time to be born. And I got to thinking about the 9 months in pregnancy. Isn't that something? We're upon election time. And there's the Planned Parenthood and the pro-choice. We're pro-life. And I just think that's something. Because as I was thinking about that today, 9 months of change. The baby's growing in the womb. And the mother gets to that 9th month and the contractions get even stronger. And they start and they go quick. And then the baby comes. And it's an exciting time during a mother's pregnancy. But it's also a painful time during the pregnancy of a mother. I can remember when Lily was born, September 23rd, 07, over at Cobb Hospital, and took Christy to the hospital about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and she was halfway there already. And the very next day, on Sunday morning, or Sunday afternoon at 3:16, Lily was born. And I was watching the monitor, and it would start to climb, and every time that monitor would climb, Christy would grab a hold of that bedside, and she'd start, "Oh, ow!" And then it would go down, and she would release it and be fine. It'd go back up, and, "Oh, ow!" You know, that's putting it mildly. And she was in pain. She was in pain. We had been preparing for this day and anticipating this day, but definitely there was the pain of it. And so in life, as we look at things, there is the physical time that we're born. We have no control over that. But also in life, there are times where we go through pain. And it's a mixed time. It's good things. It can be intermixed with bad things. But nonetheless, there is a time to be born. And then he says, and a time to die. Of course, like I said a moment ago, we have no control over either of these things. But there are seasons like this in life where there is newness, there is death, and we all experience those things. He says a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. So a farmer goes through what he goes through to put the seeds in the ground. He has to plow it and plant it and relies upon the rain to come down to water the seeds, and then relies upon the heat and the sun. This is a process, a planting. Then he says, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. I believe this is giving reference also to a kind of death. The plant may be dried up. It may be withered away or withering away. There's no hope for that plant. You got to pluck it up. And so he says, there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And certainly there are times in life where we experience the birth of something, the newness of something, the joy of something, whether it's a baby or a plant, as the scripture says. But there's also those times in life where there's the death of something, the death of a person, the death of a plant where it comes up. We experience all of it has to do with change. And then notice, if you would, verse number 3. This is kind of questionable, if you ask me. At least when I first looked at it, it's kind of questionable. But I understand what the writer is saying. He says in verse number 3, a time to kill. Well, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. If you look at the first phrase in its entirety, a time to kill and a time to heal. What's the opposite of healing? Or the opposite to heal? The opposite to that is a wound. Or where there is some kind of wound, some kind of something that has been opened. A time to kill talks about a wound. And then it says, in a time to heal. Now, a time to kill can be in reference to war. It can be in reference to a wound. It can be in reference to any kind of roughness. And so there are certainly times in life where we experience wounds. We may be wounded physically. We may be wounded mentally. We may be wounded spiritually. Just a time of roughness. And I tell you what, if things don't get better in our land, there's going to definitely be a lot of deaths and war. Someone said the other day, we're on the cusp of World War III. Okay? And I mentioned to them, do you think there could be a draft? And there could be a draft if they needed us. We'll be drafted into, you know, this battle. And so there are certainly times in life where things change. And there's open wounds. There's war. There's roughness. But praise the Lord, there's a time to heal as well. That's why we need to get the right person in office so that there can be some healing in our land. But we know ultimately the only and true healing comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to evangelize the world, preach the gospel, pray for Holy Ghost conviction to come upon the soul that is lost so they can receive Jesus as their Savior. And ultimately there will be a spiritual healing in our land. A lot of people are so caught up in politics and so caught up in this one or that one or who's going to get in the White House. Listen, the answer to the White House is Jesus. That's the answer. Like I said the other day, we're over here at the soccer park, and I said, Jesus for president. Jesus for president. You know, there's all these rallies and all these tangents they get off on and all these arguments, and they're just in the wrong battle. They're actually, both of them are in the wrong rally, because we need to be in a spiritual rally. And when there's a spiritual rally, there'll be spiritual revival, and then there can be some true healing in our land. But there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Praise the Lord for those healing times in our own personal lives. Has anybody been through anything, any kind of hardships lately or in the past couple, 3 years, or whenever it was, just hardships and struggle, almost like an open wound, and you thought that time would never change, but yet the page of life changed. You're in a new chapter. Now there's healing. Now there's restoration. You may not be in the restoration stage now. You still may be in the open wound stage. But here's the thing about it. It will change. The Bible says again, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Ultimately, God is in control. If you have an open wound tonight, spiritually speaking, something going on in your life mentally, listen, God has a time clock on it. God has a time clock. God is providential. God, either God's in control or God's not in control. You say, well, Brother Justin, I made some choices and things were out of control. Yeah, but guess what? God is still in control. Whether what we do in accordance to His will or if we do something out of His will does not dictate God's will from being done. Don't misinterpret that. Okay? God is in control. And so if we have an open wound in our life going through a hardship, there's a time clock on it. God will allow the tables to turn. There will be a chapter 2 in your life because there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. Now, then he says, a time to break down. We could say decrease. And a time to build up. We could say increase. And so there are definitely seasons of life where we experience decrease. Decrease with physical strength. Decrease with spiritual, concerning spiritual strength. There could be decrease in finances. There could be all kinds of decrease. But praise the Lord, there are those seasons of increase where we feel strong physically and spiritually and God's blessing financially. And there's just a buildup in our life in all of these areas. You know, the Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. You see, Paul, he learned how to humble himself. Paul learned how to be content in different situations in life. Paul said, I learned how to be content when I was hungry, when I was poor. And I learned how to appreciate the good times when I was full and when I was well and all of those things. And so there's certainly a time of breakdown. Has anybody ever experienced a breakdown in life? Whether it's a mental breakdown, whether it's a physical breakdown, and I'm not kidding, I'm being honest here. Whatever kind of breakdown, there are times of breakdown. Now, a lot of people say that I'm going to go to the services for a career and praise the Lord for them. We have veterans in here tonight, and praise the Lord for you. But I can remember a couple stories of some men saying, I'm going, you know, to the Marines. Nobody, mom and dad's not going to tell me what to do anymore. I'm going to the Marines, and I'm going to go. And first thing they understood was they're not going to have their way in the Marines. They're going to be broke down and controlled, but then they will create a Marine out of that person. So much it is in our lives as well. We experience those times of breakdown, but then there's those times of building up. And the Lord tonight, He is the potter. We are the clay. Sometimes He has to start over. Sometimes He molds and He makes us into the fashion that He wants us to be. And so there's certainly those times. But then in verse number 4, it really goes without much interpretation here. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. There's those seasons of weeping and then there's those seasons of gladness. What does the Bible say, the Scripture say? Those that shall weep... there should be joy in the morning, what I'm trying to say. You know the verse. And those that weep at night shall, joy shall come in the morning. I'm butchering that verse badly, but you know what I'm saying. There's a time to weep. You remember Israel, they hung their harps in the willows because they were carried away captive. And then the enemy required a song in a strange land. And they were, how in the world can we sing? We're in a strange land. We're away from God. And so many times in life, we find ourselves in a weeping stage. We find ourselves wanting to hang up our harps. But the Lord is wanting us to sing a song, even in our strange predicament, in our strange situation like Israel. The Lord wants us to sing a song. So there's times of weeping. And then, of course, the Bible mentions in the book of Psalms, while passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Make it a well. And there was a lack of rain during those days and in those lands. And the writer says, you make it a well. What they would do, they would dig ditches. And then when the rain would fall, there would be water to drink. And so that is symbolic to shedding tears. It's symbolic to going through hardship and how we're not to just waste those tears or waste that hardship, but make it a well for someone else to drink. Use our tragedy for a message for someone else. Let our life be a ministry for someone else. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Look at verse number 5. Something interesting here. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. The phrase a time to cast away stones is through the idea of demolishing things that are fortified. Or even whenever a structure was going to be builded back in those days and even in our day, there has to be a clearing of the land because it would hinder the foundation of a structure. And so it's through the idea of hindrances, things that are in our way. And so there may need to be some stone throwing tonight, not at each other, but away. We like to throw stones at each other, don't we? Bible says, he that's without sin cast the first stone. And so instead of casting stones at each other, I think that whatever is in our life that's hindering us, we need to cast those things away. There's times in life where it seems like we're just doing away with things, and God shows us things that need to go. We're going through a casting away stage where there are hard things in our lives and difficulties, things in the way. And so we have to demolish these things. And then he says, in the time to gather stones. This is through the idea of creating places of fortification. Protect yourself. Fortify yourself. Whatever you have to do in your life, there's times where we have to gather up stones. We have to fortify ourselves. There are some things that should go in our life, but there are some things that should be implemented in our life as well to fortify us, to protect us. And these are different stages in life. Dealing with change, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And so there's this time of embracing. We're coming together. We're loving each other. There's relationships being built and relationships being mended and relationships growing. But then he says there's also those times of refraining from embracing. This could be reference to being hurt. This could be a reference to something going on in a relationship where there is no embracing. There is just a refraining from embracing. These are things in life that happen. I think about times when, spiritually speaking, when we're enjoying Jesus and we're walking with Him and talking with Him, but then there's those times where we don't feel Him. Those times where we don't sense Him. Maybe it's because of some kind of sin, or maybe it's just the providence of God. He has given us opportunity to be obedient
without having to feel Him. And so there's those times of refraining from embracing. These different stages and changes of life, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse number 6, a time to get and a time to lose. We've experienced those times. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. That rending there is to the idea of rending a garment. In the Bible, many times people through prayer, through fasting, or through mourning, they would rend their garments. Many times they would shave their heads and rend their garments. It is an expression of inside turmoil. God knows that we all go through those times where we are experiencing turmoil and we're in a mourning stage. But also there's those times where there's a time to sow. There's a time where God puts us back together and He's working and He is sowing the mended heart. We've got to let God mend our hearts. We've got to let God sow back together the pieces that have been broken. Amen? And so there's time. And listen, you may be going through a time where there's mourning. There is a rending of your heart being broken and ripped. But according to the Bible, that's only for a season. That's only for a season. Because things will change. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There will come a time where God will sow your heart back up. You keep going. You keep living for Him. God sees every tear. He knows every heart. There will be a sowing and a mending time. Verse 7, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Any more explaining on that one? Sometimes we just need to keep our mouth shut. Do not insert foot in mouth. Okay? And so, a time to keep silence. A time to speak. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. Now, that's an interesting statement, a time to hate. Well, it's not the kind of hate that we might be thinking about here. The Bible also says, be ye angry and sin not. And so there is a righteous anger. There is a righteous hatred. The Bible, Jude, I believe it's Jude that says, and hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. When a person gets saved, there are some things we ought to dislike. There are some things that we ought to hate. There are some things that we ought to be angry against. We ought to be angry against what the Democratic Party stands for. We ought to be angry against sin and what sin is doing to lives and to our world. We ought to be, angry against all of those things because it's righteous indignation is what it is. It's righteous anger. So there's a time to love. And there's a time to hate. I think that we are going through a time to hate right now. There's a time for godly indignation right now when it comes to politics and what's going on with this election. Christians ought to care what's going on. And we ought to go cast our vote for our voices to be heard. A time to hate. A time of war. We've already said it. A time of peace. And so that's where we're at in verse number 8. And so we said all of those things to get to our message tonight. But this lesson tonight is like all introduction and a little bitty message. And so don't you worry. We won't be long. Again, we're talking about change. And what's the definition of change? The definition of change is simply this. Webster's Dictionary says it's a period of transition. A type of movement. Doing something out of the ordinary. And so if we want to experience any kind of change in our life, in our homes, in our churches, good change, we've got to do something out of the ordinary. What does someone say the definition of insanity is? Doing the very same thing over and over and over and expecting a different result. Nothing is going to change unless we change. We change. And so that's the definition of change. Let me mention three quick things to you when it comes to this idea of change as we're looking at the season changing from summer to fall. Number one, change is a reality of life. Again, verse number one, to everything, there is a season or an appointed time and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Again, you know, change is a reality of life. Life is in a constant state of change. Change is so hard for us, isn't it? I have areas in my life and things that I don't like to change because I'm comfortable with routine and I'm set in my ways. But yet God makes sure that there's seasons where those things change. There's seasons where they change, and it's for my benefit and yours for them to change. Change is a reality of life. Listen to this. Life is like a river flowing by. It never passes the exact same way again. We were in Blue Ridge not long ago, and we were looking at the river, and I love rivers. We love rivers as a family. Streams, creeks. I can remember growing up planting creeks, catching crawdads. I love it. Some of the best times of my life. But the river was just flowing, and I mean, it's just going every which way. It never passes the same way twice in the same exact fashion. It just doesn't do it. That's the same thing about life. Life is a series of changes. Today is going to be much different than tomorrow. Tomorrow will be much different than the next day. That's why we ought to rejoice in every day. And it's called the present because it's a gift. Today is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a decision. And so every day is filled with its wins and losses, opportunities and misses, hurts and healings. It is just part of being alive. Think about it this way. How much has your life changed in the past 10 years? 15 years? 20 years? Let me back up. Year and a half. I mean, between now and a 20-year time span, how much has your life changed? Have you moved? Has there been babies born, grandbabies, great-grandbabies? Has there been any deaths? Have you changed cars or jobs? Some of these things could be devastating and are devastating, but on the same token, some of these things can be exciting. One person is experiencing devastation on a particular day, and another person across town is experiencing excitement in a very day. It's just the way that the wheel of life turns. Change is a reality of life. Change is a reality of life, and it's necessary. You know, change is necessary. Some things we accept, but some things we don't accept. Although change is necessary, listen to this. What if babies never grew up? I mean, what if they stayed small? We'd have a world of babies. We'd be a bunch of babies walking around. Think about it. I think about that cartoon, that movie, Boss Baby. Boy, I'm literally growing up watching that. And just, you know, babies running the planet. What if babies never grew up? Well, we'll be overrun by a bunch of babies. Or what if they grew up but they never matured? What if babies never grew up, but if they did grow up, what if they never matured? What if they never, you know, experienced life? And they would never be what God called them to be. It takes the changes of life to shape us. And it takes time and it takes change. We talked about that river a moment ago. I think about them stones in the river. Excuse me. It's that constant, continual stream moving. And it's the pressure of the currents in the water that shape those stones. You know that? And so it takes time. It takes change. It takes all these things that God allows in our life to get us to where we need to be. Some we agree with, some we don't. Some are devastating, some are exciting, some are acceptable to us, and some are not acceptable. But change is a reality of life, and it's necessary for us to get to where God wants us to be. Talking about babies, I made a post, past 2 days, I guess, with unplanned the unplanned parenthood, is that it? Or planned parenthood. And I made some posts on me and Christy's page about some things that the reason why that this Facebook site is against it. Of course, I'm against it. But I put a post out there and I shared it from their page about Aaron Judge, who's playing on the Yankees. Does anybody know the story of Aaron Judge? I love it. Aaron Judge was given up for adoption when he was a baby. And of course, he grew up and he experienced a lot of harsh things and hardships, but he was adopted by the Judges, a man and woman. And as the story goes, he loved baseball. And tonight, he's playing in the World Series. And so Aaron Judge, although his mother abandoned him, give him up for adoption, praise the Lord, she didn't terminate the pregnancy, but God had a plan for him. Aaron Judge is a Christian, a professed Christian. He's the captain of the Yankees. I'm sorry that they're going to lose tonight, but, you know, I hate it, but, you know, hey, he still has a ton of money, and he knows he's going to heaven when he dies. So, hey. But you see what I'm saying? There was roughness, there was harshness, there was ups, there's downs, but look at the platform he's on tonight for the honor and glory of the Lord. But also, not just the Yankees, but there's a man by the name of Jack Flaherty, a pitcher for the Dodgers. And Jack Flaherty's mother didn't abort, but she did give him up for adoption, and he was raised, had ups and downs, had hardships, had good things and bad things. But tonight, he's on one of the biggest platforms in the world, professed Christian Jack Flaherty, pitcher for the Dodgers. And so, well, what are you saying? I'm just saying that there is a reality of change in life. And we see the good, we see the bad, and we mourn and we cry and we cast stones and we collect stones. But it's all part of God's plan as He is providentially doing something in your life. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. You can rest assured that God works all things together for good. All right? And so what if the weather never changed? What if the seasons never changed? We would have a world that would be off balance. What if it was just summertime all the time? We'd be a parched land, wouldn't we? There'd be no grass anywhere. What if it rained all the time? We'd be living in boats. You know what I'm saying? What if it was fall time all the time? What if it was, you know, winter time? We'd be living in igloos. Okay? And so change is very important. And when God is in control of it, whether it's cold or it's hot in our life, you can rest assured He is putting something together because He's the potter and we're the clay. Number two, not only change is a reality of life, but change is how we realize progress. Change is how we realize progress. Or change is how progress comes. For example, don't turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Salvation brings change. We're using it for an example. We have a change of destination. We're not going to hell anymore. We're going to heaven. We have a change of desires. We desire God now. We desire His Word. We desire prayer. We have a change of purpose. We want to share His Word. We are interested in His leadership and where He wants us to serve, where He wants us to work, what family He wants us to have. And so change is the only way we can see progress. John Maxwell said, change that works is progress. And Justin Hales added to that statement, change that doesn't work is regress. Okay? And so we welcome change that works. And we do not welcome change that doesn't work, although we have to deal with both. And we're trusting in a providential God that He will orchestrate things. But while change is happening, let's make sure we're changing in the right direction. Let's use every situation as an opportunity for positive change. If we fight change tonight, then we're going to be fighting a losing battle because change is always happening. Let's see every situation as a stepping stone and not as the end. Let's remain with a God perspective with every situation. Look in verse number 11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. And so we have to maintain a proper perspective, a God perspective with every situation. Some change we like, some change we don't, some things we agree with, some things we don't. But in all of it, we must understand that God is at work. God's at work. And so change is how we realize progress. And again, change that works is progress. Change that doesn't work is regress. But both of them is coming at us, and we got to deal with it one way or the other. And so let's remain with a God perspective in every situation. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We're always trying to figure it out, aren't we? We're always trying to figure out the end from the beginning, but we have to trust in God because only God knows the end from the beginning. But yet we have this heart, we have this mindset where we want to see it through. And God says He hath made everything beautiful in His time. He says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. So instead of trying to figure it out, let's just trust in the Lord with it. He does end the chapter by saying this, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be hereafter, or shall be after him. Talking about just rejoicing in each day and working hard and trusting the Lord. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. Not only that, but number three, change isn't relative to some things. Some things don't change. You say, what are you talking about? God don't change. God doesn't change. God's Word never changes. So change isn't relative to some things. God's Word never changes. His promises don't change. His provisions for salvation doesn't change. It's for whosoever will. God's love doesn't change. So while everything is changing around us, we can count on the things of God never changing. That's why we build our life on His foundation. We build our life on a faith foundation because that foundation never changes. Many people build their life on the foundations made with sand, and sand's always shifting. But if we build our life on the Lord Jesus, come what may, God will work it together for good. Come what may, God will providentially allow us to walk in our purpose. Therefore, let us continue to build up our faith and know everything He does or allows is for a purpose within a particular season. Let us realize change is a part of life. Realize we can progress with good change. Look at the bad things in life through spiritual lenses and not regress, by leaning on our own thinking. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths, thy steps. And so change isn't relative to some things. Change is how we realize progress, and change is a reality of life. That's the lesson tonight, just a simple lesson on change. The seasons are changing. Our lives are constantly changing. So let us just remain pliable in God's hand to do what He wants us to do. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for all things. Lord, change is coming one way or the other. But I'm glad to those that know You, You're working all things together for good. To those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And so, Lord, we rest in that tonight. Help us progress and not regress when change comes. And, Lord, we just love You. We thank You. We praise You for tonight. Keep us safe as we go home. Bring us back safely Sunday morning. Give us a couple great services this Lord's Day. We want to see the saved, or we want to see the lost saved and the saved blessed. We love You tonight, and we thank You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. All right. Anything else to mention before we leave? Well, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. And have a blessed evening. You're dismissed.